Gospel according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. A lot of years ago now, I went camping with my daughter, Libby, who was in kindergarten at the time. And we went out to the Black Hills. And I don't know if you've ever gotten the chance to go to the Black Hills, but they are a very beautiful part of our country. And we camped there, and we went up to the Presidents, you know, and saw Mount Rushmore, and it was just amazing. But one of the things I realized that was very special about the place was the air actually glittered. It was as if there were little motes of shining dust. And there were. Let me tell you how they came about. I'm a rock hound, a geology freak, and so I like to talk about geology sometimes. And there is a connection to transfiguration, so hang on, we're getting there. And in the case of the rocks up in the Black Hills, some of them had been under such pressure that granite, which is a beautiful rock with little crystals of quartz and feldspar and mica in it, granite actually gets pressed into lines, even pressed into such pressure that all of those crystals realign into little, kind of like little bands of rock. All the mica that was in the beautiful rock of that hills of those hills would align into bands that they called a schiste lustré, a French pair of words that mean that it was a lustrous or shining schist, which is a special kind of rock where all of the little mica has aligned together, and it's like almost as powerful as a mirror. It's so brilliant. It shines like that. So when that little schist lustre, which was a little bit brittle, would break up, and you'd be out there hiking and kicking up dust and stuff like that, you had beautiful sparkles in the atmosphere. It was that beautiful. I don't know how else to explain it. But that's been going on for a long time, because the Native Americans who lived there originally said that when we die, we go first to the Black Hills and then to heaven. Why? Because if we went straight to heaven, heaven's glory would blind us. So they give you that stage along the way in the Black Hills where everything is beautiful and glimmering and shining, so that you are prepared as you enter heaven to be able to see the glory of heaven and not be blinded. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful way of looking at it? So now I hope I've made everybody want to go to the Black Hills, because it's a really beautiful place. But here's where the connection comes with Transfiguration Day. Transfiguration is a word we never use except on Transfiguration Sunday. Have you used it in any other sentence besides Transfiguration Sunday? I didn't think so. So in the original Greek, the word is not transfiguration. That's a Latinized version of the word. In the original Greek, it's metamorpheo. Metamorpheo. Meta means change, like trans, right? Change. And morph is your form. So it's changing your form. Metamorpheo. So those little rocks out in the Black Hills that have undergone great pressure have changed their form from that original sparkly, you know, granite that had all these little different crystals in it, like kind of like all mixed together. It's changed into bands of this beautiful shining schist and other bands of minerals, because it's been metamorphosed, it's been under pressure. And okay, done with the geology study now, but the word means to change in form. And that's what happens up on the mountain when Jesus goes with his friends up on the mountaintop. Now he goes up there, and he has just told them in chapter 8, if you're reading along, please do keep reading Mark's gospel. It's just a wonderful, wonderful gospel. In chapter 8, he's just told them that the day is coming when he will be arrested, he will be condemned, he will be executed, die, and on the third day be raised. His disciples haven't got a clue what he's talking about, and they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. Jesus, don't even talk about it. In fact, in one of the Gospels, Peter takes Jesus to task and says, don't, you know, far be it from you. That's not supposed to happen. And so Jesus is trying to help them understand that this wonderful man who can heal people and set them free from demons and restore their lives in just amazingly wonderful ways, this wonderful man who will feed thousands of people with just a few loaves of bread and a few fish, this wonderful man is headed for a terrible death in order to accomplish what needs to happen. They don't want to hear it. Sorry, Jesus, we're all about the miracles, and we're happy to have you feed us, and yeah, let's keep on showing that God has shown up in this wonderful way, but please, don't you go die. Don't you even talk about it. Well, Jesus has revealed to them what's going to happen to him. And a few days later, he takes Peter and James and John. Now, I thought about this as I was preparing for this. I always used to think of them as his closest friends. What if they're the toughest ones he has to convince? Have you ever thought about that? Maybe they're the ones who struggle the most to believe and understand what he's up to. But in any case, he takes Peter and James and John up the mountain. And while he's there, his clothes become blindingly white. His face is transformed. He is shining. And shining is always in the Bible the glory of God being revealed. Somehow God is showing up in that beautiful shining. So he's shining. All of a sudden, two wonderful people from their history, Moses and Elijah, show up and start talking to Jesus. And Peter is absolutely terrified, along with James and John. Absolutely terrified. But Peter, of course, he's our wonderful guy who blusters his way through everything, right? Okay, Lord, good that we're here. We'll build three tents, okay? And we can worship you guys, and this will be a place where we're going to have a beautiful retreat up here, up on the mountain. No, Peter, no. And while he's talking, a big old cloud rolls in, and a voice from the cloud says something very important. This is my son, my beloved one, my chosen one. And the most important three words, listen to him. Okay? And remember in Mark's gospel, we talked about this at the time of the baptism. At the time of the baptism, God speaks right to Jesus. You are my son, and I'm so pleased with you. Now, God speaks to the three guys up there who are having a hard time understanding what Jesus is up to. This is my son. This is the one I chose and sent to you. What's the most important thing you can do? Listen to him. Listen to him. One of my favorite commentators, and I know I've talked with you about him before, his name is Samuel Wells. He's a pastor in London, and he publishes his sermons from time to time, and they're very good. And one of the things he said about this whole thing that helped me very much, when Peter and James and John object to Jesus saying, I'm going to die, I have to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to die, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be buried, and then on the third day raised up again. Well, first of all, they have no clue what raised up again means, so that part's completely a mystery. But they don't want him to go to Jerusalem. But Samuel Wells said, think about this. How else is God to show us that there is nowhere we can go that God has not already been? There is nowhere we can go that God will not be there ready to meet us in whatever struggle we may face. The very crux of the cross, the very center, is where God meets us every time, no matter what's happened in our lives, no matter how hard they may become. God is here for you. So when the disciples are saying to Jesus, please don't tell us you're going to go to Jerusalem and die, they don't get it. But we do. Because we're on the other side of the cross. We're on the other side of the resurrection of Jesus. And we know how much we need to know that God Himself has come and become one of us, knows what we face as we live, knows what we face when we die, has been there, done that, gotten through to the future God means for us to know. When Jesus is transfigured on the mountain, think about it. He hasn't changed, has he? His form changes, that's what it says. But he's just showing us who he really is. The wonderful King of Heaven who shows us our future. But he shows it just temporarily up on that mountain. And he tells them as they go down the mountain, don't bother to tell anybody about this till after the resurrection. Nobody's going to believe you anyway. You don't understand what's happened. But what has Jesus done? But shown us that God is here. Given us just a quick glimpse of how beautiful, how filled with light, how very powerful, and yet how very tender God is. So God says to us, hey, this is my son. Listen to him. To the best of our ability, we try to listen. We read our Bibles. We pray. We listen for the calling of God, maybe callings that have come out of you, the things you love to do, the things you've served God with, the things that have made you make the world a better place. You've listened. I've listened. We try our best. We follow along as best we can. And we're kind of like Peter and James and John. We're not always going to get it. We're not always going to understand. We're even going to say sometimes, la, 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 please don't talk to me about the bad stuff. I don't want to know. But Jesus is patient. What does he do? He goes back down the mountain with them. He comes back to our lives right with us because he is going to see us through and draw us into the future he means for you and me to know. He's going to draw us right straight through the cross, right straight through our own death, right straight through to the presence of God. On this day, as we change from the marvelous stories of Epiphany, where God reveals himself in Jesus, to the stories of Jesus walking to the cross, and coming to grips with what it is that we struggle with in this world. On this marvelous day, he shows us, hey, wait a minute. You've got a future. It's with the Son of God. And so we trust in Jesus' name. Amen.